It's good to have all you back. You know, time is passing by so quickly, isn't it? It's March. It's actually coming to the end of March already. And tomorrow is actually Palm Sunday. It's when we remember Jesus riding that donkey into Jerusalem. All those years ago, 2,000 years ago. A very important season. But it's already March and almost over. And you know, so often we don't realize that time is passing by so quickly. We talk about time as if we can control time, right? Make time, save time, buy time, manage time. We talk about time as if, you know, we are somehow able to manipulate time. But the truth is, time is the only thing you can't fake. You can't fake time, right? You can lose time, but you can't fake time. And so many of us today, I'm worried that young people today, they do not know what to do with their time, right? I mean, you know, we are going round and round and round, and everything is so sian, you know. And, in many of us, we waste our time, isn't it? We stone, right? Actually, I just found out that in our youth, there's someone actually called Cephas. You know, I never heard. No, Peter, Cephas means stone. You know, other people can say don't stone, but for him, he'll always be stone. Cephas. Okay, anyway. But today, I want to talk to you about something really important. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about why every single individual, one of us, we need to have a purpose in life. Okay? We need to have a purpose in life. Because otherwise, you're gonna waste all this precious time that God has given you without purpose, without direction. And you will wake up one day old and you will regret it. Right? And so that time, that couple of weeks ago, I looked at Queen Esther and how she found that God had a purpose for her. She began where she was. And that is true for every one of you. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God has a purpose for you. Okay? Now you may not believe it, because Queen Esther did not know it at first, but the truth of the matter is that every single one of us, we have a purpose in our life. And it is important for us to find it, to catch that vision, not just for the country, not just for the church, but a vision for our life. Okay? Now today, I want to talk about a different kind of vision, and I think it's very important. But before that, I want to tell you something that happened a couple of months back. Back in November, no, actually, years ago, let's see my direction, that way, okay. Now, across the road here, some of you may remember there used to be a polyclinic here. Remember this? Yeah, Margaret Drive Polyclinic. And after that polyclinic closed down, it became a dormitory, right? It became a dormitory for foreign workers. And years ago, we would do, you know, some sort of medical health check for these foreign workers and so on and so forth, you know, every now free clinic and get to know the people there. Now, there was a guy there who lived there by the name of Aru. Aru came from Tamil Nadu. He came to Singapore to become a construction worker because, you know, the money was good here. And he had worked here for many years. But soon thereafter, you know, he came, got to know us a little bit because we did all these medical services for them. But soon thereafter, the dormitory closed down and the workers went everywhere else in Singapore. For Aru himself, he ended up in Tuas. You know, Tuas is like, it's about as far as you can go from here, right? Any further, you'll be in Indonesia already. So, he was in Tuas in a dormitory, but things were not going good for him, right? He was depressed from his work, it was difficult, you know, I mean, earning money is good, but hard work, and most of all, he missed his family. He hasn't seen his family, hasn't seen his children for many years. By the way, many of our construction workers are like this. They have children. They've never seen their children for many, many years. Some, maybe only when they're born, the children have never seen them, right? And so he was very depressed to the point, back in November last year, Aro decided he wanted to kill himself. He couldn't take it anymore. He wanted to kill himself. And for whatever reason, he decided that he was going to take a train, eastbound train from Tuas to Outram Park to kill himself. I don't know why he didn't do it in Tuas, but he decided that he was going to do it in Outram Park. So he was on that eastbound train, and that train was going, and as it was coming by here, God moved his heart, I think, right? He decided, oh, maybe I can go to that church, you know, near where I used to stay, and maybe I will go there and I will pray before he goes and kills himself. So he gets down over there at the Queenstown station. He walks down here thinking that we can come into church to pray. But you know, our church normally is locked on, alright? So, we hope to change that. But, you know, he comes in, but that particular night, not every night, that night, we have our migrant workers, computer class. You know, we're asking church members to donate laptop and all that so that they can have class. That night was their graduation night, the last class for that session. And he showed up, you see all these other migrant workers, right? And they were graduating, getting their certificates for computer. So, he asked around, and the guy who was running the thing says, why don't you sit through this whole session with us? It was an evangelistic session. He was telling them about God. Aru sits down. He sits through the whole session. Sees everyone get the certificate and everything. And at the altar call, Aru gave his life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Right? I mean, just at the back here, outside in the tentage, right? He gives himself to Jesus, his life to Jesus Christ. And not only that, he's been coming to church regularly. I mean, this is the guy who, that was going to be the last night of his life. It was going to be the last night. But it turned out to be the first night of his new life in Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Right? And that, now why is this so important? This is important because you see, he was going to Ocean Park, right? How would he come here? On the night, those of you who have been here on a weeknight know that usually there's nothing going on, right? Certainly not outside, certainly not for foreign workers. But that night, God had a purpose for Aru. And for every one of you who are here tonight, I want to say you're not here by accident. Because God has a divine appointment with you. Just like God had a divine appointment with Aru. Amen? Do you believe this? Right? Every one of you, turn to your neighbors here, you're not here by accident. Okay, so you are here by purpose, by God's divine purpose, and it's important for us to find that vision of God in our life. But today I want to talk about a different kind of vision, maybe the most important kind of vision that, no, some of us, we have vision to get rich. Okay, some people want to get rich, they imagine themselves that they're rich. Some people have the vision to be famous, right? And they imagine themselves that one day they'll be very popular. Other people imagine, they have vision that they'll play frisbee. Okay, I don't know about that. How did they come down? Okay, so, you know, we all have different vision, but that's a very important, the most important vision in your life. It's about a personal and a supernatural vision and encounter with God Himself. This is the one that will transform your heart, not just inform your mind. Today we live in a society where we are being fed all kinds of information, right? When you go to school, the school is trying to inform your mind so that you can be a smarter person. But you know what? You can be a very smart, but also a very unhappy person. We need to have our hearts transformed. So today, we want to look into the Bible at this amazing story that's found in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, there's this story of Jesus calling the very first disciples, right? Who can name me some of the first disciples of Jesus? I give you a clue. We mentioned him already. Yeah, the stone guy. Yeah, Peter. Right? Cephas. Right? Simon Peter. Anyone else? John. Yeah. Luke kind of late, right? Bartholomew. Yeah, not the first one. James. Yeah, John's brother. What about Stone's brother? Pebble. Yeah. Andrew, right? Okay, so this is a story about these four guys. I'm going to read it to you. It's on the screen. And I'm going to read it kind of fast because we don't have time today, okay? So it was when the multitudes pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's also known as the Lake of Galilee, right? And he saw two boats standing by the lake. Not like standing as in standing up, like sitting there by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. So they're not in the boats anymore. He got into one of those boats, which was Simon's. In other words, Simon Peter's, the stone guy. And asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Actually, sorry, let me go back to verse 4 again. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Now, I need Punyi to read this. Okay, sorry, I go back to verse 6, okay? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. For many of you, this story is a very familiar story. You have heard it many times. For some of you, maybe this is the very first time. It was an amazing thing. It was one morning. We know it was morning because, you know, they had worked all night, right? So this was early in the morning. And it was early in the morning in the town of Capernaum in Galilee. Now what happens is that back in those days, you started work when the sun rose up, and then you stopped working when the sun goes down because there was no electricity in those days, right? No TV, no internet, no nothing. So you literally go from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Here today, well, today we rise up when we rise up, whenever we rise up, right? And then we sleep when we finish the last episode of whatever it is, Waikiki or whatever Korean drama you're chasing, right? So, you know, today we don't follow the sun anymore, okay? In fact, we don't follow anything, bocheku already. So, but back in those days, you know, you woke up really early when the sun came up. Now, that early morning, there was in this little village all kinds of activity. And people were crowding around to see the key event, which is Jesus, the miracle healer. Jesus had healed a whole bunch of people miraculously, such that there was a crowd who were wanting to see Jesus. And as the crowd swelled. Okay, as the crowd swelled up, I'm just testing you, I know. You know, they were pushing him and they were going nearer and nearer to the beach. Now, the beach in Capernaum is very short. It's only about 10 meters. So there's not much space. It was getting going back, and all the people coming, more and more people want to see Jesus, or touch Jesus, and ask Jesus to heal them, heal their son, heal their children, and all kinds of things, and he's going back, and getting closer to the water, and then Jesus sees these two boats, empty boats, and he decides, you know what, I'm going to get into one of these empty boats, and it turns out to be Simon Peter's boat, alright? So Simon, he was already outside, I mean, he's worked all night already, he wants to go home already, he's packing up everything, washing his nets, going home already, right? So now Jesus waves over to Simon, hey Simon, come and help me, you know, put out the boat a little bit so that he can be on the water and people cannot crowd around him and he can speak to them from the water. I find this pretty amazing because, you know, most of the time, can you imagine you are out there, let's say, at a car park and someone suddenly walks into your car, sits down and says to you, hey, by the way, could you drive me over there? How would you react? I think most of us will have quite a negative reaction, right? What do you think? Grab Uber, huh? Do I look like that to you, right? But you know what? Back in those days, the Middle Eastern, they are very hospitable. When people came and, you know, stepped in their boat, okay, whatever, you know, if you want. They were very hospitable people. And I think many of us, we need to learn this. Singaporeans, you are too busy. You guys are kids. You're already so busy already, right? And when we are too busy, we don't have space in our life for friends. For real human beings, not like AR emoji kind of human beings. Those are not human beings, right? But we don't have space in our lives for real human interaction. More than that, we don't even have space in our life for God's interaction. In other words, God might be speaking to us today, but we didn't hear Him because we are too busy, right? So the first point is this. If you want to hear from God, you cannot afford to be too busy to stop. I mean, Peter was over here, right? He was washing the net. Maybe this is net. He's washing the thing and, you know, he was trying to get stuff done. And then this guy is asking him to come over. I got to finish my work. I'll go home, right? Most of us will react this way. But you know what? Peter stopped. He was not too busy. Okay? He was willing to go. You know, sometimes we are too busy to stop. And, you know, when you're too busy to stop, it can be quite dangerous, right? I mean, I know people who are walking on the street, and then they're walking too busy on their phone, never stop, cross the road, bam! Next time you see Jesus already, right? You don't want to see Jesus like this, okay? Being too busy can be fatal physically, but it can also be fatal spiritually. So today, turn to your other neighbor and say, don't be too busy. I sometimes hear people tell me, but Pastor, how is it that in the Bible, God can speak to people so clearly, but now God doesn't seem to speak anymore? You know what? I think the problem is not the Bible or God. I think the problem is, how come last time we used to listen like this, but now we don't listen anymore? Well, because we are too busy. Okay? So we cannot be too busy. Because God is trying to do something in your life. That, I mean, just like Aru, imagine Aru. He was on the eastbound train from Tuas to Outram Park to kill himself. And he was going, and God is trying to tell him, Aru, stop. That church, remember? No, I'm very focused, playing on his computer, last game, you know, of whatever games you all play now before he kills himself, right? Maybe the high score in Tetris or something. Okay, I know you don't play Tetris anymore, but you know, good thing Aru stopped. Would you agree? Good thing he was sensitive enough to hear God speak to him, to direct him away from what he was doing. And I don't just mean that you set aside time for God. God, this is your time, appointment 9 a.m. You get 5 minutes between brushing my teeth and going to the toilet, right? God, speak to me now. You don't speak to me, that's it already. You quickly go through your quiet time and all that. I'm talking about allowing God to interrupt us, intrude into our schedules, to pull us aside, to do something that you never planned before. And very often, you'll find that it is when God intrudes upon your life, is when He's most likely to speak to you. So we must be prepared to allow God to interrupt our schedule. Don't be so stuck to your schedule, whatever the schedule is, you know, whether it's your game schedule, your show schedule, your K-drama schedule, your study schedule, whatever schedule it is, be prepared to allow God to interrupt you, because you never know. Sometimes when God interrupts you, it could be the most amazing thing. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was a man who was interrupted by God. His name was Moses. He was out in the back of the desert looking after his father-in-law's flock of sheep. Father-in-law's name was Jethro, not his own sheep. Now he was looking after the sheep, minding his own business. And while he was minding his own business, he looks up in the mountain and he sees a light there. He's thinking, oh, there's a light there. And he says to himself in Exodus chapter 3, right, he says, I'm going to turn aside to see this great sight. How is it that this bush does not burn? Right? I mean, if it was in a modern time, nobody would go up. Light was probably LED light or whatever, right? But back in those days, it's pretty amazing. So he decided that he's going to turn aside. He will allow God to turn him aside. Today, maybe God is trying to get your attention. Maybe you are here today and God is trying to tell you something. But sometimes our mind is so full of things. We are too busy. We cannot turn aside. So we need to turn aside. So Moses, he turned aside. If Moses did not turn aside, we probably, Bible will be a lot thinner. Bible study will be a lot easier also, right? But Moses turned aside, and we have the whole promise of God in the Bible. Okay, so now what happens? Jesus was in the boat. What was Simon Peter doing while Jesus was in the boat? What do you think he was doing? Well, just imagine a bit, like, use your holy imagination, right? Jesus is in the boat. Simon was at the back of the boat, right? Tweeting, you know, or maybe taking selfie. Look who's in the boat with me, right? What do you think? I don't know what he's doing. He can't do anything. He can't wash his nets or whatever. His nets are all there, right? Maybe he's just packing things away a little bit, you know. Wondering how long is this pastor going to speak, right? Probably. And then he was just going on and, you know, Jesus was teaching. He was just listening there, nothing to do, no internet, no Rubik's Cube to play also, you know what I mean? The guy was no frisbee, between two boats, you know, and back. He was just sitting there listening to Jesus. Captive audience. And then the Bible tells us, and then Jesus had stopped speaking. He finished his sermon. Right? Now, if Jesus had finished speaking, how do you think Simon would feel? Imagine you are Simon, the stone guy, right? How do you think you would feel? I think many of us feel, finally it's finished already. Now I can go back to, you know, let's go back to shore, right? I'm going to finish packing. I'll go home, a long night working, very tired. It's been a hard day's night, right? All night long. Okay, so all these are old songs that you don't know, right? So what happened now is, he's thinking, oh, finally, Jesus has finished. I can go back to doing what I wanted to do, right? Go back to before I was pulled aside. But then Jesus makes this strange request. He turns at Simon, smiles at him. Hey, Simon, let's go out further into the deep. Are you sure not? Yeah, go out in the deep, bring your nets. I'm going to cast your net out in the deep. You know, now some of you may not understand this concept, but let me put it in modern terms for you. It's 5:28 p.m. Right? What time is your school over normally? What time is your afternoon session school over? What time, sorry? 3:15. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Okay, let's say 2 o'clock. Huh? Okay, then let me make it 1:58 PM. Right? Almost bell ring already. Right? You pack up everything. You're already standby already, right? Almost going. Then the last minute, your teacher comes into the room, look at you. You already packed, you're already texting people, coming home soon, whatever. No, not coming home, like going out to friends or whatever. Then suddenly your teacher say, Simon, Peter, okay, now Cephas, come over here. I need to talk to you a bit. You're thinking, ay, sian, now, you know, now, tomorrow cannot, now 1:58, 1:59 already, tick, 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 bell almost ring already. Then you go and sit down, the teacher start talk to you, by the way, Peter, you're doing quite well in this, but then, your mind, everything go out one side, you cannot hear, because all you can hear is tick, 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 almost there, tring, you want to sound already, right? You know, actually, there's one YouTube video, this lizard, I don't know whether you saw the lizard trying to escape or not. Okay, next time I'll show you, but, you know, and while you want to go already, the teacher's still talking on and on. And all you can see is 1:02 o'clock, 2:05, 2:07, 2:15. Finally, 2:15. The teacher finished speaking. I say, oh, thank God, finish already. Everything you just say yes, whatever. Because you say no, then you talk longer, right? So you say yes to everything. Then the teacher suddenly say to you, you thought the teacher say, you know what, Peter? Actually, why don't you bring out this textbook? Bring out textbook. I already packed already, you know. I want to go home already. I've been in school for a whole day already, right? That was probably the feeling of Simon Peter, lah. Maybe you can understand like this a little bit. He wants to go home already. Suddenly Jesus said, let's go out further into the deep water, right? But you know what's amazing, right? Simon Peter, this guy, he has many flaws. But one thing, he's always gung-ho, game for something extra. He says this, alright? You can almost hear his exasperation. He says, Lord, we have worked all night long, and we caught nothing. Then he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You know what that is? That's faith. That's called trusting people, right? Means, I don't think so. I try already, don't have already. Yep, confirm, don't have already. But because you say so, we will do it again. So, Peter was willing to allow Jesus' words to triumph over his personal experience, to triumph over his personal convenience. I mean, who's the expert at fishing here, right? I mean, Jesus, you stick to teaching. I'm the fisherman. I tell you where to fish. You don't tell me where to fish, right? But more than that, Peter was allowing Jesus to speak to him in a private space. Into his private space. Actually, I think many of us don't realize this, that we have this thing in our life. We don't mind people telling us, giving all kind of advice. But what we don't like, is we don't like people to tell us what to do in the things that we know how to do. Am I right? Right? I mean, you can tell me how to do everything, origami, don't tell me how to fish. I'm the fisherman here, right? Don't tell me how to do my job. You know, many young people are also feeling this way, right? But God especially want to tell you what to do in those private spaces of your life. So Peter was basically saying, Lord, speak to me in my private space. So not only was Peter willing to go out of the way, he was willing to let God speak to him in his private space. I got this video here. Yeah, that's right. Not video. Picture here. This is how many of us live our life today, right? When you're tired, you just go inside. You hide from everybody. Stay out of my... You know what? God wants to get inside there with you. Do you know that? Right? Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to get in there with you. Okay? And it is important for us to allow God to come in there to speak to you, alright? I know it looks a bit cramped, but God don't take up a lot of space, son. He takes up all the space, alright? So I come to understand that many of us today, we cannot hear God because we are either too busy, we don't allow God into the private space of our life, but it is exactly there that God wants you to allow Him to come and speak to you. That's where He wants you. But you know, many of us, we are very protective of that private space. In that private space, I have a right. Right? We hold on to our rights. We hold on to our fears. We hold on to our bitterness, our anger, things that we cannot let go of, our pain, our own shame. We hold on because we don't want people to come in to see those kind of things. You know what I mean? Nice things you don't mind people. Private things we don't want people. Well, you know what? God wants to come into your private space. He wants to speak to you. He wants to meet with you today. If you will allow Him to come into your private space. I talk to so many Christians who, you know, who only want to do the outside things, but not prepared to allow God to really get real with them. But Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, because you say so, I will do it. That was faith. He was getting personal with God. Now, the Lake of Galilee was not a very big lake, okay, to be sure. It was actually, it's a lake. They call it the Sea of Galilee, but actually it's a lake, right? You can actually jog around the lake. When I was there in Israel, I actually had an opportunity to take a video of it. And, I don't know whether they ever play this or not, but, you know, Jesus, when he said to Peter, why don't you put out a little from the deep, right? Now, at first, they were just a little way out. Probably, I guess, about maybe 5 meters out in the water. But afterwards, Jesus says, let's now go all the way out to the deepest part of this little lake. And we're going to go fish there. Now, let me ask you this question, okay? Do you think this miracle, they caught this fish, right? Do you think Jesus could have performed the miracle by the beach? What do you reckon? Could it have happened on the beach? By the beach? I think so, right? I mean, after all, it's a miracle, alright? You're gonna make fish jump into your boat. You know, I mean, you might as well be standing on the beach. Fish walk up to the beach. I mean, it's a miracle, right? It's not that difficult for which fish to walk. I mean, if they're gonna, something like this is gonna happen, right? So, if you're gonna be talking about miracles, anything is possible, right? Short of little Yoda fish coming out with a lightsaber. Do or do not, there's no try. Okay, so, you know what? Actually, why then did Jesus ask them to go out in the deep? I mean, think about this for a second, right? Why do they have to go out the deep? If it's going to be a miracle, you might as well do it there. More people on the beach, more audience, better, right? More better. Okay, so why did they go all the way out to the deep? I think it was a test. You know why? Because general faith is not enough for most of us to meet with God. You need more than just a general faith. You need to have a personal investment. And maybe this was Jesus' way of asking Peter to make a personal investment. Right? I'm not going to make it easy, but if you're willing to make that personal investment, then you will hear from God. The most important vision of your life is the vision of God. So they go all the way out into this far out place. Because in the Bible, there are other people who did everything, but failed in the last personal investment part. There's a guy, a rich man, by a young ruler, okay, in Matthew chapter 19 verse 22. He did everything, but when he came to Jesus, Jesus, what must I do? Jesus says, now I want you to sell everything and follow me. That last part, he cannot make it. Cannot make the personal investment. Listen, if you really want to do this thing for reals, okay, you gotta make a personal investment. You have to put something of yourself into it. I mean, really, you know, that personal space, something of yourself into this whole thing. Right? It's not good enough to hear about what God is doing in a church, what God is doing in Aru's life, what God is doing in somebody's life, in David's life. You have to do something with your own life. Make a personal investment. So, Peter, he was rash, but he put all his feelings aside. No, he got feelings, you know, Peter, right? He put his feelings aside. He obeyed God's word. Today, so many Christians, we cannot do that. We cannot meet with God. We can experience the supernatural vision of God. Why? Because we put our feelings first. You know, feelings like the stock market, up and down, it's not reliable. Right? And many people, they allow feelings to drive their train. But actually, what we should do is we allow the facts and the faith to lead us. Feelings will come as a byproduct. Okay? We'll just keep going on. So, now, Peter was pulling in the nets. Okay? He put his feelings aside. He says, no matter what I feel, because you said, I'm going to do it, right? Regardless of my experience, regardless of what happened in my past, regardless of my, you know, my personal expertise in the matter, regardless of how I might feel, or how I might think, regardless of how tired I am already as it is, regardless of the fact that I just did it last night, but it didn't work. Regardless of all that, because you said, I'm going to do it. So he begins to pull in the net, and guess what? Fish. I mean, of course, fish are, but, you know, lots of fish. Lots of fish, pulling more and more fish. And you know, at this point, I mean, look, I guess you don't have to be a fisherman to know when a miracle is happening, right? There's so many fish is coming in, right? And I'm guessing that he's probably thinking to himself at this point, what's going on here? You know, how come there's so many fish? Right? I mean, this Jesus, I thought he was just a teacher, right? How come he can make fish come? You know, Peter was a fisherman. He recognizes a miracle. The problem with many of us is we don't recognize when God is performing a miracle in your life. This very second, God could be performing a miracle in your life. Could be trying to talk to you. But sometimes we don't recognize it. Right? And we thought it's something else. You know, imagine Peter was pulling in the fish. He could have mistaken the fish for a lot. Maybe he could be thinking to himself, wow, God is blessing me. I'm going to be rich. Look, so many fish, big fish, small fish. I need to buy a bigger boat. I think I'm going to open a fishing company. He could be thinking all these things, right? But actually, that wasn't what Peter was thinking because he recognized something. At first, he was thinking of fish. Wow, nice fish. But the more he pulled in, his mind started to change. He started to think, wait a minute. If this Jesus is really God, the Son of God, you know, he's pulling it slower already, right? If he's really God, oh my God! I mean, that was the right thing to say at that point of time, right? Most of the time, it's the wrong time to say. Then Jesus, did you call me? Yeah, okay. But, okay, that wasn't what he said. Then it occurred to him, you see, he was pulling his thinking in mind, his gears turning. Wait a minute, if Jesus is really God, what am I doing catching fish? You know, at that point, the revelation, the vision suddenly came. The most important vision in Peter's life suddenly came to Jesus. He suddenly got it. You know what I mean? The penny dropped. At that point, it's a ding. It's like, the Bible says he fell at the feet of Jesus in the middle of the boat. He falls out and says, oh Lord, depart from me. I also think, depart to where? You're in the boat in the middle of a lake where your Jesus won water away, right? I don't know. Okay, maybe you know, Peter always said, and he always say things like, Lord, depart from me. I must say, you know what's happening? Peter got it. He really got it. He got the vision. The most important vision of all in our lives is to allow ourselves to encounter with a true and living God. This was what transforms the heart and not just informs the mind. The Bible says after that, that we read just now, they were astonished at the catch of the fish. You know what? I'm astonished at that they are astonished. Why? Because you read the previous chapter, right? We are told that Jesus had cast out a demon-possessed man from the synagogue that very Sunday. Saturday, that Sabbath, right? Were they not astonished when that happened? You know, then suddenly Jesus said, get out of him in my name. I suppose in his own name, right? Command the demon out. And the guy was well after that. Were they not astonished? On top of that, we are told, just a few verses up before that, that Jesus had gone to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was down with fever, right? And Jesus went over and instantaneously healed the mother-in-law. And she got up and started serving again. Was Simon Peter not astonished at that point in time? But maybe because his mother-in-law. Why do you heal her? You know, so, okay. Maybe, okay. Maybe not so astonishing because of that. Then after that, after the incident with the mother-in-law, Jesus had gone to town and everybody was bringing all their sick people and the demon-possessed people. They were all coming to Jesus and he was healing every one of them the whole night until the sun set. That's why I cannot continue anymore. That was the reason why that very morning, the whole crowd was there. It was part two of what was happening. Were they not astonished that Jesus was healing? So why were they so astonished now? I tell you why. Because this time is personal. See? It's different when it's about other people, you see, right? God can be doing something for other people, other place, other lives. This time, it's not about other people. It's about you. It's about me. And that is what makes it so important. So today, when we look at this, this is actually the most important thing. Couple of things we need to do. First, we need to allow God into the private space in our life. God wants to speak to you tonight, okay? While you're sitting here, you might think that you have come here by chance, or by some coincidence. But you know what? Allow God to speak to you in the private space of your life. Second of all, allow God to lead you to the deep, to the extreme places. Don't be afraid to be distracted from your whatever busy thing you're doing. Maybe as you go out to the extreme places, you may discover a miracle. Better yet, you may receive a revelation, a vision from God. Third of all, allow God to take away some things from our lives to transform us. Right? You know what happened after this? After this, the boat was nearly sinking, full of fish. They all went down to the beach. And when they got to the beach, the Bible tells us, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Wow. They allow God to really transform their lives. So today I want to just say to all of you, allow God to speak to you because He has a vision to transform. Maybe some of you here tonight, the first time this has happened in your life, but maybe if you have not asked Jesus in your life before, this could be your night. To say, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will do it. You know what? God doesn't just want to be a planet in your galaxy. He wants to be the sun in your solar system. Why don't we close our eyes and pray? Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose for every single one of us. That none of us are here by chance. But Lord, today we want to pray, Lord, that you will come and you will meet with us. You will call us to the deeper place. You will call us to turn aside from all the busyness, the distractions, the things that are occupying our minds and our hearts. Call us aside to the wilderness so that we can meet with the living God. And not just have our minds informed, but have our hearts transformed. Father, I pray that every one of us here today may experience that. That our faith is personal. It is not just something our parents had. Or not just something we heard about from other people. That we can personally experience the reality of God. The supernatural revelation of God. That for every one of us here, the penny will finally drop. I mean, we may know it all that long, but one day it suddenly becomes an astonishing event. The penny finally drops and we finally get it. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will do this for all of us, Lord. And maybe tonight, there are some of us here today who are not yet having that personal understanding of God. Maybe some of you here tonight, right? That could be you. Okay, you're the stone guy. But maybe right now, this very moment, maybe God's Spirit is talking to you. Could it be? Could it be that He's trying to get your attention, asking you to come aside? Could it be that if you will turn aside from what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're planning, could it be that if you put your faith in Him, that the penny might just suddenly drop? And if that's you, I want to invite you to say, nevertheless, Lord, because you say it, I'll do it. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and let Him transform your lives. Father, we thank you for every one of us here. We pray your Holy Spirit will do this amazing work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.